diary starts from today, the first day in Advent. So the church calendar begins with Advent. Did you hear two words there, Advent and calendar? Does that mean anything to you? Advent, what do we do with Advent calendars then? Chocolate. Oh, Tim, you got the answer.
Chocolate.
And nowadays, we have calendars that you've got little windows that you can open. And inside, there's often a chocolate. This one's a terribly special one because we've also got chocolate, but also a little verse, a little reading. And there's a story, the story of Christmas, of Jesus coming, first coming. Because an Advent calendar counts down to Christmas Day. We know that. But on Christmas Day, Christ Mass, we celebrate Jesus coming again. And actually, the church thinks that this is a really important celebration. Because without Jesus Christ, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have a church. And that's quite a major thing. So when we come to church, we also come watching and waiting for the signs that lead us towards the celebration of the Son of God. I keep on doing that because I've got a microphone thing and I can't fit it in my pocket, so it's sitting in my skirt, and every time it drops down, I feel like I'm going to drop down as well. So, don't worry. There's something else that's very interesting. Did you know that all the time leading up to the birth of Christ is called B.C.? So 100 years B.C., that reading that was read, Jeremiah, who read the Jeremiah reading so very well? You did. That Jeremiah wrote 600 years before Jesus was born, 600 years B.C., wow. And he wrote about Jesus' coming. He actually said, "The Lord, our righteous Savior." That's what we call Jesus now. He prophesied, that's what we call it, 600 years before Jesus came. What do we call the years after Jesus came then? We have BC, yes. AD, well done. What does AD mean though? It doesn't mean after Christ, otherwise BAC, yes. You must be a Latin scholar, young man. Anno Domini, exactly. And what does that mean? Do you know? No, okay. It means in the year of the Lord. So our calendars start counting from the year that the Lord was born. And that's why today it's, what is the year today? 2018. 2018, 2018 years AD from the year the Lord was born. So isn't that interesting? Calendars and dates and everything. Now, we do special things during Advent. Who knows how many weeks Advent lasts? We know how many days because it's 25 days to Christmas. But how many weeks is that? Yeah, you're counting. About. It's not 1 week. How many weeks about? Yes, in the corner there. Yeah?
14.
Not 14 weeks, no. 4 weeks, exactly. Very good. 4 weeks until Christmas time comes. And so we have a special thing here. We've got candles. And every week during Advent, we light a different candle, don't we? The first candle, which we light today, represents the prophets that foretold Jesus is coming. So I'd like one of the older boys, please. Would you like to come and light a candle? Thank you. Come on. What's your name?
Nathan.
Nathan, would you like to light one of these purple candles, please? They all got special meanings. How come I said 4 weeks and yet there's five candles? That's tricky.
One for Christmas Day.
Oh, well done. The white one is for Christmas Day. So are you good at lighting?
Yeah.
The trouble with matches is that they sometimes don't want to do what we want them to do. Well done. That's excellent. Fantastic. So each week you come, we'll be lighting a new one. Thanks very much. I think that's all I want to tell you so far, except to say thank you to Caroline for making this beautiful Advent wreath for us. There's symbolism in the Advent wreath because a round circle means continuation and eternal presence of God in our lives. And so it's got a really special meaning. And the evergreen things that we make the wreath out of, again, it's about lasting forever and ever. And then the symbolism of the candle, which we've just talked about. Thank you. Tim, I'll hand back over to you now. I think there was a little prayer to go with the lighting of the Advent wreath. Somebody had it. Who's got that little... Yeah. So there we go. I'll leave it to you.
Jesus, you are the light even in the darkest places. Help us to trust in you.
God of Abraham and Sarah and all the patriots of old, you are our Father too. Your love is revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Son of God and Son of David, help us in preparing to celebrate his birth, to make our hearts ready for your Holy Spirit and to make his home among us. We ask this through Jesus Christ, the light who is coming into the world. Amen.
Introduce this next reading. It's a bit dramatic, it's a bit scary, and it's talking about the end days. So don't worry about quaking in your boots. It's not going to happen now. Do you like to sit down?
Jesus said, "It will seem like all hell has broken loose. Sun, moon, stars, earth, the sea, all in an uproar, and everyone all over the world in a panic. The wind knocked out of them by the threat of doom. The powers that be quaking. And then they'll see the Son of Man welcomed in grand style, a glorious welcome. When all this starts to happen, up on your feet, stand tall, with your heads high, help is on the way." He told them a story. Look at the fig tree, any tree for that matter. When the leaves begin to show, one look tells you that summer is right around the corner. The same here. When you see these things happen, you know God's kingdom is just about here. Now, don't brush this off. I'm not saying this for some future generation, but for this one too. These things will happen. Sky and earth will wear out. My words won't wear out. But be on your guard. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. Otherwise, that day is going to take you by complete surprise, spring on you suddenly like a trap, for it's going to come on everyone, everywhere, all at once. So, whatever you do, don't go to sleep at the switch. Pray constantly that you will have the strength and wits to make it through everything that's coming and end up on your feet before the Son of Man.
Thank you, Ian. And now we've got a drama for you.
Introduce them, Tim, because nobody knows who they are. They're not Freddie, Mickey, and Nathan. They are actually, who are they?
Oh,
go on him.
Go on.
Are they angels?
They're angels.
Let them stand close to the mics.
This thought's a bit sad from the Bible reading from Luke 21. So angels, Gabriel and Rebus, have been charged with setting up the signs that point to the fact that Jesus is about to return, which meets them in their own premises.
Right item one on the AIM agenda, get the sun, the moon and the stars to participate. Angel, how is it that progressing?
I can report that we have the union that represents huge and powered celestial bodies on board. It means the sun and the stars.
I know all about that. Don't take me for a fool just because I don't have a diploma in astral physics.
Sorry, I was just pointing out that we are having a little trouble with the moon. It is a bit of a rogue element, neither planet nor star, so it's holding out for a good deal.
Make sure you find a solution to that. The moon is important as it holds such prominent place in the night sky. We need all the astral bodies to be involved, otherwise the people who think they're so tough may not faint from terror.
That leads me on to my next window of opportunity. The clouds are being a little awkward.
The clouds? They're normally so accommodating. A rain shower here and torrential downpour. They even help us out when we need a little fog.
Normally, yes, but they seem to be kicking up a fuss. Carrying the Son of Man is not included in their job description.
Why not use the global warming bargains, Chip? Promise that as the temperature of the Earth increases, we'll let them increase participation. It'll get warmer, but there'll also be more rain. That should persuade them.
I'll propose that and see what response I get. But I'm worried that people will still carry on as normal and not understand what's being said.
Apparently the Son of God is going to use one of those parables that he tells so to make the point.
But will he get it all sorted out in time? I'm worried that I just don't have the angel power to get it all arranged.
Let me give you some inside information. Apparently everything will be ready at the right time. All part of the great plan. No one actually knows when these things will happen. The point is that we should all make sure we are ready for them and live in the right way.
Thank you, angels. You made the point that it's quite difficult lining everything up just so that the Son of Man can arrive at the right time. He's come once, he's going to come again. And that's what Advent is about as well, looking towards his second coming. But how dramatic that first reading was, and quite scary, really, except for sometimes listening to the news and watching the pictures of global warming, the incredible storms, the fires in California, fires in Australia as well this last week, and floods in Sydney. It seems like actually there's chaos already on Earth. Did you also know, and I'm sure you hear this at school, boys and girls, about global warming and about how global warming affects our climate? And that's what the angels were talking about, the different things happening. But it also means that there's droughts in some places. So just last month, I went to Kenya for a few weeks with some other people from the Chelmsford Diocese. We went to visit five different northern dioceses of Kenya. And the one place I went to, it was very dry and very arid. There were some trees, but very trees that hold water, that retain water, called baobabs, or else very spindly, thorny trees called acacia trees. And there was hardly a blade of grass. At the moment, when the rains fail, and in one place that I went to, it had failed not just for 1 year, there were no rain, not for two, but for 3 years that had no rain, while they were praying for rain for this season. But at the moment, there are 3.4 million people in Kenya who need food aid. Why am I telling you this? This is not good, happy stuff. But when you read in the Bible that the sky and the earth will wear out and things will get pretty chaotic in the heavens and on earth, we can identify. And these are little signs which point towards Jesus coming again. Now, Jesus' second coming is a bit like his first in that when he came the first time at Christmas, he came as a little baby then, but he brought or he ushered in peace and goodwill. That's what the angels said. It's a time of peace. Don't we sing all sorts of carols that are about peace coming and about goodwill? When he comes again, he'll bring in a new whole era. He'll bring in a new heaven, a new earth, and actually that'll be a time when there's peace on earth. But I'm going to give you a little confession now. I don't really like preaching about or talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you why. Because it hasn't happened yet. And sometimes a lot of people think it's not ever going to happen. They've been waiting for 2018 years so far. Jesus hasn't come back again. So when he says, I'm going to come and look out for the signs, what's going on? It's taking rather a long time. And also, if people ask me questions about it, even though I'm a priest, if they say, when is Jesus going to come back again? I have to say, I don't know. If they say to me, how is it going to happen? I have to say, I don't know. I don't know. The Bible even says no person's going to know the time when Jesus comes. But if you ask me what will happen, then I have a few ideas, because the reading, like the one we just read, and different things in the Bible, tell us a few definite things. We know it's definitely going to happen. Did you know that it's mentioned 300 times in the New Testament talks about Jesus coming for a second time. So we know that it's going to happen when Jesus brings in this new heaven and earth. And the new heaven and earth will be a place where there's no more sorrow. Vaughan talked about a time when, as a carer, you think about things that make you hurt. We all have things that make us hurt in life. There'll be no more sickness there. There'll be no more war. It'll be a place of peace and of prosperity and flourishing for all. Okay, so now I'm wondering, how can we get ready? We know how to get ready for Christmas, and we'll talk a bit more about that later. We know how to get ready to celebrate the first coming, but how on earth do we get ready to celebrate and to think about the second coming of Christ? That's not so easy, is it? There's a few clues. It's like having to be a bit of a detective. You have to find the clues. There's a few clues in our first reading. One is something that says we must do something, and the one is a don't. The one is do, and it says pray and worship God always. That's one do. The don't, it says be on your guard. It says don't let the sharp edge of your expectation of Christ's return get dulled by something. Get dulled by what? There were three things that Ian read. Now, this is funny to hear and hard to hear. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. What? We all do those things. And in fact, they're good. Shopping is necessary and good. It's necessary to buy Christmas presents, isn't it, for people we love? And actually having a party and a celebration and Christmas meal, that's also good. So what does it mean when Jesus says those things? Well, what he's saying, and this is what I want you to remember, is that those things, whilst they're important, aren't the only things that are important about Christmas. Because Christmas is a mystery. It's a time when we spiritually celebrate, as well as celebrate with families and friends. We are getting ready for the mystery of Jesus Christ coming into our midst. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about ways we can get ready after our third reading. Our final reading will help us to find some of the ways that we get ready spiritually in our hearts and in our minds for that next part of Christmas.
The third reading, what would be an advocate? Thanksgiving to offer God for all the joy we experience before him because of you. We do what we can, praying away night and day, asking for the bonus of seeing your faces again, and doing what we can to help when your faith falters. May God, our Father himself, and our Master Jesus, clear the road to you, and may the Master pour on the love so it fills your lives and splashes over on everyone around you, just as it does from us to you. May you be infused with strength and purity, filled with confidence in the presence of God our Father, when our Master Jesus arrives with all his followers.
I've got a bit of a shopping basket here, a shopping bag. I wonder if I could have one or two people to just help me have a look in here. We've been talking about getting ready for Christmas, and I'm just thinking about some of the things that we do to prepare ourselves for getting ready for Christmas. So if you haven't done a reading yet, come on. Come and have a look and see what we've got in here. What are you doing in your houses at the moment? What kind of things are you doing? Pick out one thing there and hold it up high and tell us what it is. Oh, that's good. So what's that? What do you think that is? Can't tell what's inside it, but what does it look like?
Something you drink out of.
It could be a cup. It's a present though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what we know. So are we wrapping presents at home? Are we buying and wrapping presents? Let's pop that down there. And what's this? Hold it high. What's that?
Chocolates.
Chocolates. Do those make you think of Christmas? Do you get some of those in your Christmas stocking sometimes from Santa?
No.
No? Oh, in my Christmas stocking, I always have chocolates. Definitely. Santa always knows. I think he knows I like them very much. Thank you very much. We'd like to put that on the table as well. Careful of the candle. What did you get out of there? Have you got something yet? Go on. Oh, lift it up high. More presents. Those were actually bought in Kenya, and they're for my daughters. They don't know about them yet, so you need to put those down. And get something else out, somebody, until we get to the end. So there's three more things, one for each of you to get out. Oh, hold those high. What's that? Loudly tell them.
Cards.
What kind of cards?
Birthday
cards. Christmas cards. How many of you have started writing your Christmas cards? Put up your hands. Lots of you have, and lots of you, like me, are feeling we should. You're going to give them to all your friends at school? Okay, what else have we got? Hold yours high. What's that?
It's a Christmas tree.
It's a Christmas tree, and what do we do with that Christmas tree?
We might hang it on a tree.
We might hang it on our own Christmas tree. That's a decoration that somebody's actually made. It's beautiful, isn't it? Thank you so much. What's that then? That's a strange thing to have. Hold it high. What do you think that is? It's a magazine with
a turkey
on it, because, so in our house, we sometimes get witch magazines. That tells us which place to buy our best turkey to eat and roast. So if you're not sure, you can have a little peruse later, everybody. It also tells you which is the best next gadget to get. Actually, I watched a children's television program, and there was a panel of children. I don't know if you saw this. Didn't watch the whole thing, I just caught the end. And they were trying to decide which was the best present for this Christmas, the most favorite toy. I'm not going to tell you what it was, but I bet you all know, because all your friends have probably got them and you want them and they're on your Christmas list. What are you hoping for? Not sure. Not sure either.
A bike.
A cycle bike.
A 20-inch one.
Oh, 20-inch one, because you're getting so tall. Fantastic. Thank you so much, all of you. That's really kind. Now, I've got a different particular kind of thing that I'm going to put up in my house this year. And it's a new kind of Christmas tree. I've asked Tim to help me. Actually, I'm going to ask a few children to help me with this as well. Wow, look at that. I love trees. Everybody who knows me will find out that I love trees. And I love birch trees, especially in winter, because even though they've got no lights on them. That's the best way of doing it, Tim, I think. Even though they've got no leaves on them, they still shine in the moonlight and in the light of the street lamps. Thank you. There's a little plug just there. So, children, maybe you children, the ones who haven't come up yet, sorry, you, I don't know, anybody who hasn't come up, the little ones, if you wouldn't mind helping me just spread these branches out so that they can, we can hang things on them, because soon we're going to hang, oh, look at that, yes, you can turn it on. What does light symbolize? I mean, light's beautiful. In our houses, we've got all lights shining everywhere, haven't we? What does it symbolize at Christmas time? Yes.
Hope.
Hope, very good. Hope of what?
That Jesus will come again.
Yes, that Jesus will come again, absolutely. So we're thinking at Christmas time about his first coming and all the hope he brought, and like you said, and you've been listening, the second coming as well. Lights also symbolize the end of darkness. Thank you, boys. You can come and help me do a little bit more later when you bring your blossoms. Thank you very much. If light comes, darkness disappears. And when Jesus came, they called him the light of the world. And when he came, he dispelled the darkness of sin and of death. And he gave us instead the hope of everlasting light and life. So light symbolizes the end of darkness. And trees... Now, this was a bit about Ian's reading. Trees, when you watch them, you can tell when spring is coming because little shoots start coming and out come the new leaves, and then later on the fruit appears. And so trees also remind us that we must look out for the signs of the new season of Christmas. What did I do with my talk? Oh, there we go. So thank you for all those different preparations. I said I'd just mention a couple of things to help us prepare spiritually for Christmas. These three things are drawn from that third reading. The first is love. And love is something we show through giving gifts. But this kind of love is extravagant love. It says in the version we read, it says that when we get this love from God, it will overflow from us and splash around to everybody who is close by. That's love. The second thing we can do to prepare our hearts and minds for the mystery of Christmas in a spiritual way is, our reading tells us, is strength. It's not just any kind of strength. It's not building our muscles kind of strength. It's being strong in our faith. That's why we've come to church. It's all about learning more about our faith. That's why Jane suggested maybe reading a chapter of Luke's Gospel leading up to Christmas Day, because that helps us to be strong in our faith. And the last idea of helping us to get ready spiritually for Christmas is about living lives that are pure. What does that mean? Yes?
It means you really want to have
it. It means you really want to be good and to be pure. That's right. And so you don't do things that are impure or maybe sinful, like lying, like dirty language, like being a bully, like putting your needs before the needs of others. Instead, you have a character which shows faith, honesty, kindness, goodness, generosity, all those good things. And that's what grows on trees as well. That's what we call the fruit of the Spirit, is things like faith, love, hope, generosity, goodness, kindness, and patience. Let's see if we can be people who are loving so that it splashes around, and people who are strong in our faith, and people who also have purity. Now, on each of your chairs, you should have a little flower. I think you guys, you don't have a flower. Go and grab one from one of those chairs. If you haven't got one, put up your hand, and there's some hope blossoms that somebody will bring around to you. And If you haven't got a pen, also put up your hands, because you need pens for this little thing. It's something for you to do. What I want you to think about on your hope blossoms, you said that this was a tree of hope, didn't you? On your hope blossoms, have you got one? Okay. It should have a little hole in it as well. I want you to think about something in your heart and your life and your mind that you are hoping for and longing for and maybe praying for. Now, it can't be a new bicycle, okay? It's not a thing. It's not a physical thing. That's something that we ask for. But a hope and a prayer and a longing is more something that we are hoping might happen in somebody's life or somebody's heart. Maybe it's for a pet. Maybe it's for a grandparent. Maybe it's for you. What are you hoping for spiritually in your heart and mind this Christmas? So can you write down one or two things that you might hope and pray for? You don't put your name on it. Now, everybody's going to do this, adults included. You don't put your name on it. You just put down the thing it is that you're hoping and praying for. Think about the things that those two ladies shared as well. One was about people who are less fortunate than ourselves. And once you've written them, it takes a bit of thinking. I'm going to give you till the end of the next song. Once you've written them, do we need more pens? Oh, please, can we have more pens? Thank you. Can you bring them forward? Thank you. And everybody who wants a pen, you can have one. Eileen will pass it along to you. Once you've written it, can you come and hang it onto the hope blossom tree? Okay? Right, that's the end of what I'm going to say.